Violence erupted in Charlottesville, and a young woman died amidst the rage of those with Nazi and Confederate flags. Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill reflects on the anger of the times.
The tragic clash in Charlottesville recently and the president's disappointing equivocation about its perpetrators is one more toxin pervading the already poisoned atmosphere in which Americans live daily. I've witnessed some examples of selfless service and goodness in public life. Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., Elie Wiesel, Eleanor Roosevelt, Dag Hammarskjöld, and Shimon Peres are but a few. These are the men and women I'd want my children to emulate. My concern is that today's young people are being fed steadily a diet of cynicism through sensationalistic media outlets, which, by the way, Americans devour voraciously. I believe our national discontent indicates a deep hunger for inspired leadership, for authenticity, and for hopes that can lift us up and help us live the fundamental challenge to our existence, how we can love one another. Loving one another is the ultimate challenge in life. Everything else is secondary. Inspiration and hope are available, but today you have to look hard. It's like panning for gold in a stream bed. The constantly moving water stirs up dirt that obscures the gold. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land is a challenge as relevant today as it was over 2,000 years ago when the grieving psalmist, longing for his lost home, first spoke these words. Thomas Merton is a name well known in and out of religious circles. His autobiography, Seven Story Mountain, written in 1948, concerned his conversion to Catholicism and his eventual entrance into the Trappist community. The story fascinated believers and non-believers alike. I read it as a teenager, and I remember little of it. I do recall the feeling that it temporarily awakened in me. It was that feeling all of us have had at one time or another. It's when, on a dark night, we watch the stars and a feeling of awe becomes visceral, working itself up from deep within us and lodging in our throats. Merton's spiritual vision extended beyond the banks of conventional religion to excite people's imagination about the awe-inspiring wonders of awaking to a spiritual awareness. I was surprised to read not long ago about how, years after he wrote it, Merton began to critically examine his own motives in writing the book. He had an uneasy feeling about its tone, which he regarded as condescending, giving the impression that the cloistered life of the monk was the ideal spiritual path to follow. What amazed me was how a spiritual giant like Merton, who could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, still retained a fearless openness, curiosity, and transparency. He was able to take a hard look at himself and what he was about. In one sense, his own spiritual growth process speaks eloquently about living the life of spiritual depth, perhaps even more than did his thoughts he wrote about earlier. He was not dogmatic and hardwired to defend ideas he once held. He enjoyed enough of the spirit of wisdom to understand that spirituality is a process of constant change, not static beliefs that demand unquestioned loyalty. Years later, he said of his book, "This is the work of a man I have never even heard of." He knew his spirit missed something, and he was still hungry. In 1958, he had an experience that changed his life, but this change, in my estimation, is the most profound. He was still writing and had been in Louisville, Kentucky, to meet his publisher. Merton was walking through a shopping district at the corner of 4th and Walnut Streets. He became acutely aware of all the people around him. He was suddenly overwhelmed with the feeling that he loved them all. In his words, "They were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers." It was like waking from a dream of separateness. He recognized, quote, "the secret beauty of their hearts." He described the people as shining brilliantly like the sun. He goes on to say, "If only we could see each other that way all the time, there would be no more war, no more hatred, No more cruelty, no more greed. I suppose the big problem would be that we would fall down and worship each other. Big problem? Not in my book. That sure beats shooting each other, driving cars into city crowds, and bombing innocents in marketplaces. I know we hunger for a vision of ourselves and our nation that inspires and lifts us up. Witnessing to love is the most compelling vision of all. George Merrill on the Shore.